ASI is a ministry that's networking all these different ministries together with the church.
Being involved with ASI, meeting other people.
ASI Convention is an excellent opportunity, just a great opportunity.
People that are in ASI, there's a particular fellowship.
ASI is really the stamp. It's the glue that holds all the ministries together.
Welcome to ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. ASI members are involved in a variety of ministries all around the world. They're involved in evangelism, construction projects, humanitarian work, and even more. But the focus is always the same, sharing Christ in the marketplace. Today we're going to meet ASI members that are sharing Christ right here in North America. Phil and Sherry Mills were headed home from an ASI convention inspired by the testimonies they had heard from people who were actively sharing Christ with those around them. Phil and Sherry felt called to be involved as well. But what was God's plan for them? How could they best serve others? God eventually led them to establish a ministry of their own called My Bible First.
Luther just tearing up the bull that the Pope sent. Falling of the stars, the protest of the princes. You remember how they protested? Oh, there's just so many. Teacher, one of the, during the Reformation days when people were learning truth from the Bible. We had a miracle happen that gave us thousands of pictures for Bible pictures, because it was impossible to get any otherwise. You can't afford the copyright charges, and they're often limited even. You can't have what you need.
At that time, you know, we were just beginning. We couldn't afford to buy pictures for limited use. So thankfully, just the summer before, Phil had been introduced to gentlemen who collected Bible pictures royalty-free and was putting them onto a CD. And he remembered that, had his address, he was his first customer.
Especially for the Reformation days, those were very difficult to get except using woodcuts. And if you know what a woodcut is, it's extremely hard to color just a black and white woodcut and get anything out of it. Finally, you know, I was reduced to just colored pencils.
The ministry began actually just as a project for our own local church. There was a need there for a series of Bible lessons that would go in chronological order from Genesis to Revelation. We had a family with a Buddhist background was becoming very interested in Christianity, and they knew nothing about the Bible.
While we were in the Philippines about 40 years prior to that, my mother had written through the Bible lessons for children, and I thought that would be the perfect answer. So I went and asked her, and I said, "Mother, you know, we need lessons for our children here. Would you be willing to let me take those lessons and just, we'll print them off, we'll add some illustrations to them?"
I said, "No, we were doing that as English being a second language, and that's not the case here." She said, "Well, just do something for next week."
And she wrote the first lesson and the second one, and they presented it to the church board to see if that would be something they'd like to use in their Sabbath schools, and they were very thrilled. It was just what they needed for use in their church.
So we went from there, and our teachers loved it. They said, "Oh, this is good. We really like this," and so on. And of course, you know, once you put your foot in the Jordan, and the door opens, and the river opens, and we were off and going. There was just no way to stop then. And so, but we still were doing it for our own church. We had no thought of it going anywhere.
A friend put it on her website, just saying these lessons were available. And then also visitors coming through our church. We had a lot of visitors.
And it happened so fast. we were just having calls. People, what they were doing was putting it on their website. I still don't know what a website is, but they were putting it on a website. And for some reason, other people were picking it up and saying, we want to, you know, can we? And Sherry was being inundated. That was the only word for it. And it was all happening so fast.
When the phone calls began to be 5, 10, 15 a day, at that point, I began to realize there was no way we could slowly print out on our little printer and hand fold and send these things out. And then I realized that this was becoming much bigger than I had anticipated.
And so I went and purchased a folding machine, and we made some investments that we thought will never be remunerated, we won't recoup, but this is okay, this is all part of the ministry. And we never dreamed how much we would need those pieces of equipment because the growth didn't stop.
And that was, of course, when, first of all, their older daughter helped get some kind of a business thing going so that she could keep track of these people and their pay what they needed to pay. Because we were just charging in fact, we still are charging even lower than we should probably. But anyhow, when Jennifer finally came into the picture, it was like God sending us help. Really, we needed her. And she came in and she took over, not taking over the writing and all of that, but as far as the getting everything organized and running properly in a business-like way, she put us on the road for that.
It wouldn't be possible to have a ministry without the sacrificial work of numerous other people. It's the little rivulets that make the streams, that make the rivers.
ASI was actually what was, I guess you could say, the inspiration for starting the ministry.
When I went to that first ASI, I couldn't believe it. I'd heard so many people say, you've got to go to ASI, you've got to go. It's an incredible experience, until I decided I didn't even want to go. So many people were telling me I should. But when we got there and I sat there for that first meeting, and testimony after testimony of what people were doing out there in their own homes or in the marketplace, as we call it, I was just amazed. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, how God was blessing. I was so inspired that that's why I came home and I said, Phil, we're busy in the church, but I want a ministry. We started praying every morning. And before the end of the next month, I believe, he opened a door that I didn't at the time realize was going to become my Bible First ministry.
And ASI has put us in contact with a lot of wonderful people across the world. Especially, ASI has been helpful in the area of translations. We've been able to meet folks who are interested in translating to other languages and making these materials available for children in other languages.
Currently, they are being translated into French and Portuguese, and we are in the process of making arrangements for them to be translated into Mandarin.
Without any real intervention, any forethought on our part other than trying to produce a good product for our little church, it just was explosive growth. God took care of the advertising. He was our publicity agent. He was our marketer. We're sending out more than 3 million pages of printed literature that we print in our basement every year.
It brought a great blessing to me as I worked on these. Like the evangelists will say, my spiritual experience is at its height when I'm holding an evangelistic campaign. Well, for me, my experience was as high when I was working on these lessons. You're right with the Bible in doing this, and the spirit of prophecy.
Well, I have a pretty good imagination. You know, you better. It kind of makes life more fun for me. But Elwood is such a, he is so strict about this business of being able to prove everything that you're saying. I would tease him and say, you know, you don't even give me a half an inch of sanctified imagination. He said, that's all right. There are going to be people who want to know, where did you get that?
That's probably why his editing took a little longer than we sometimes liked.
But if you say in your lessons, if you say something like, do you suppose Jacob was scared? You know, expressions like that you can get by with putting some things in that you're pretty sure happened and were true, but at the same time, you can't give a page in reference or a verse reference.
The lessons were designed to take people not to their Sabbath school lesson alone, but that was simply a vehicle to take the children to their Bibles. And so we wanted them to read the Bible for every lesson every day. Some of the questions you couldn't answer without reading the Bible. And so that was our original intent. Let's help our members, particularly our new members who wouldn't know how to have family worship, develop the family worship blessing and habit.
And I know one thing that I noticed this past week, Luella, our daughter, has been going through one of the stories that she remembers from our worship, and I let her look through the lesson, and she went through there and she found one of the stories and started going back through it from the pictures. She looked at the pictures and it was a story about Jesus in the storm. And so I wasn't there going through it with her, but I heard her talking about it, and she was looking at the pictures and talking about a big storm, and she was talking about how she was talking about different things, but you could tell that she had remembered the story, and then the pictures, as she was looking at the pictures, it reminded her of what we had talked about in worship. And that's neat to see in a two-year-old.
We have to remember that children don't inherit an understanding of the Bible. They don't inherit their love for the Lord. And they have to be taught. And the purpose of our lessons is to lead the children and their families on a daily basis to the Lord and have an experience with Him. If they don't, then we have completely missed the whole point of doing this. We want to equip them to be able to live in these last days and to serve the Lord as their primary goal in life.
It stopped.
And what happened to the rain?
Rain.
It stopped.
It stopped.
And what happened to the waves?
Waves.
They went away.
Away.
And there was no more storm.
My Bible First has come a long way over the years, but it all started with a desire to serve and a willingness to let God lead. ASI is filled with people like Phil and Sherry Mills, people excited to use whatever they have for the glory of God. For more information about My Bible First, call 877-242-5317 or visit www.mybiblefirst.org. ASI is made up of approximately 1,000 member organizations. They vary from businesses and supporting ministries to individual professionals. Businesses and ministries join as organizational members, while individuals become associate members. Being an ASI member has been a real blessing for me, and I invite you to join us in sharing Christ in the marketplace. To apply for ASI membership, give us a call or visit our website.
The most enjoyable thing about ASI is the people you meet.
People that are in ASI, there's a particular fellowship.
They are just close or even closer than family.
ASI is a great opportunity for anyone to meet people, to see different ministries.
The fellowship is just heavenly.
Imagine being in prison and the changes that would bring. Now imagine being released from prison, perhaps after many years of being inside. another difficult change. Shelter from the Storm is an ASI member organization in Gainesville, Florida, that provides halfway support for ex-convicts. It's a Christ-centered program to bring ex-convicts back into society and into the arms of Jesus.
You can see right here, you know, we got 3ABN, the Hope Channel, where the men's can look at the television, you know, get spiritual strength. We also got materials. We also have tapes here. We all also get the Adventist literature, magazine.
Maybe 11 years ago, a young man, he's an older guy, I shouldn't say younger man, Nathan Edwards, he and I sat down while I was still incarcerated, and we talked about a First Day church opening up a home for people who got out of prison. And I asked him, what was our denomination doing about this situation? Because if you have a prison ministry, you're gonna have individuals who join the church. What are you gonna do to try to facilitate or to help them once they got out of prison?
I work training volunteers to go in prison and work with inmates behind prison walls and to get them to into the truth. But when they get out of prison, usually where they go is the First Day Church halfway house. And they get confused and mixed up in their beliefs. What do I tell them? If we don't have a halfway house that belongs to this denomination, what do you tell them?
But when I was in prison in 1996, I received this message and accept this message. And I didn't want to go back to them old friends and lifestyle because, you know, the Holy Ghost have come into my life and I was saved, I was converted. I didn't want to go back. So I went to one of the prison ministry leaders, Elder John Washington. I say, hey, when I get out, man, I'd like to go to one of you all halfway house. And he looked at me funny. I say, what's the problem? He said, we don't have now one of those. And I was like, you all don't have none. You say you have the truth and you don't have no place for me to go. And I was a babe in the Adventist faith. And here go First Day Church and say, hey, we have the truth. Do y'all have a shelter? Yeah, we have one. So it was that struggle. Well, who do have the truth? In my Bible, the First Day Church is doing what Jesus tell them to do in Matthew 25 about when you do it to the least of one of these, you have done it to me. But the Adventist church said, I have the truth, but you don't have nowhere where I can go and get a deeper study and learn more about a religion I just came into.
Years ago, we got involved with a friend, Nathan Edwards, who was one of the elders of the church. He was in prison ministry. And during that time, we would go out to the prison here in Gainesville. And as a result, this was about 18 or 19 years ago. And we would give Bible studies out at the prison. Well, later on, Jeff Cobb came along.
Jeffrey happened to come through Florida Prison Ministry with one of my workers. And when he got out, he decided that he needed to have a place to go and help, in order to help him to strengthen his belief. But there was no place to go. So the Lord impressed him to start a halfway house to help inmates who believe in our message when they get out to know the truth and stand the truth.
I didn't know what to expect because, I mean, we were starting from scratch. There was nothing there. And it was really just sort of an idea in Jeffrey's mind about what this was going to be. So I can't say that I knew what we were going to do.
It provides you with a bed. It provides you with guidance. It provides you with a ministry that explains God's word to you. And again, that's all people need. You need a foundation to get yourself back on your feet. You need someplace where you can call a secure address. You can't get a job. You can't do anything out there in the world today. If you don't have an address, you don't have a phone to work from. Most employers won't even bother to look at you.
That's why the Lord impressed on me, shelter from the storm. Because it's a storm when you come out of prison. You got to start from scratch. Everybody know your old ways, you know. Well, they're going to say, well, he's just going to come by and do the same thing. Not only that, when you leave prison, the guards will tell you when you leave, oh, you'll be back. I'll see you back. I'm going to keep this bed for you.
There are a lot of people out there in the world today who are coming out of jails, people who are on the streets, who are struggling with drug and alcohol addictions, who need someplace to go. And in the current economy in America, it's just impossible. There aren't enough shelters around. Most city governments don't provide enough assistance. It's really tough out there to get up on your feet once you've been knocked down.
When I got out, I didn't listen to what everybody told me, and I went back to my hometown. Well, I've been battling storms ever since I got out, hanging around the same people, trying to get on my feet, and something would knock me down. And I try to get on my feet, something would knock me down.
A lot of them don't have nowhere to go. Hey, they done stole from their parents, they done some of the drugs dealers, they owe them money, so some of them know if they go back to that old environment, they might get killed. So, and some of them be in prison and their mother and father and most of their family members have died, have passed away.
It's not always so easy to regain all the things that you lose when you go to jail. And you have skeletons in your closet that come back to haunt you. And just a lot of things works against you when you get out of jail, you know, trying to start back over.
2 days before I got out of prison, I had no place to go. I didn't know where I was going. They were talking about putting me in jail because I'm not from Florida. And while I'm sitting in with the classification officer, the phone rang. And it was Mr. Cobb, and he was explained to the classification officer that he had received a letter from another inmate at that particular prison and that they would accept him into the program. Well, this classification officer asked Mr. Cobb if he had a bed open. And he said, yes, we got one bed. And Mr. Cobb asked me a few questions and talked to me and said I was welcome. So I was welcomed at this house. But 2 days prior, I didn't know where I was going. And I didn't know anything about the place.
The majority of the ones that come through here and been baptized, they wasn't no Adventist. They haven't accepted the Adventist message in prison. When they came here, it was something new.
If I would have went out on my own, it would have been a struggle. I mean, truly a struggle, because the first 48 hours is so important. They say you need to find a church, and if you have a drug and alcohol program, get involved with the 12-step program. Through the ministries, I was given that immediately. And it was up to me to make them choices and follow them. But it was just, like I said, a blessing through God to provide this place for me.
He wasn't an Adventist, but now, by God's grace, this month, he will be getting baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Thanks to the ministries, the church. I'm soon to be baptized in the church this month, I think. And so, I mean, I can't say enough.
You know, as a result of them going to the church from the storm, they end up coming here to our church, and they have been a real blessing to us. You know, since they have been coming and, you know, being a part of our worship. Several of them, as a result of their coming, you know, have been baptized. They've learned more about the Lord and have accepted the truth in Him.
One of the elders, Elder Frankie Owen, you know, what really touched me? He didn't know me when I was in prison. He said, you going back to Miami? I said, I don't want to, but I don't know where to go. He was willing to sacrifice to get me an apartment to live in here, didn't he much know me for me to live a different life. Right then, man, that was unconditional love. Someone didn't know me, didn't know if I would have went back to selling drugs or what. He was willing. He extended that love of Christ to me.
I got involved because Jeff came to our church in Tampa, Florida, Mount Calvary Seventh-day Adventist Church, and was speaking with us about getting transitional homes for women. Well, I had been praying previously for God to get me into something like that because I'm a recovering addict as well. And so when I came in recovery, nothing like that was available in our church, in our denomination as far as I know of. And I used to pray, Lord, I want to help women in my faith. I want to be able to give back to the women in our faith. What can I do? What is it that you want me to do? And so when Jeff came to our church recruiting us to try to get a transitional home, it's like, okay, this is what I've been waiting for.
What happened was someone had to catch the vision that God had gave me. And what happened, ASI caught the vision.
I happened to be on the board of the ASI Southern Union. And we were at a board meeting, and we were trying to figure out some projects that the Southern Union could do with some ministries. And one of the requests that came to the meeting that day was Shelter from the Storm, of which Jeffrey had already talked to me about plans that he wanted to do. So when the project came up, I was the only one there that knew anything about it and was able to articulate what it was about, what he was trying to do, and we ought to get involved in that ministry. And we were instrumental in getting the first $25,000 so that he could start with his house here in Gainesville, Florida.
Later on, by Frank on the board of ASI, I received a call from Southern Union president of Steve Dickman, and he talked with me and he said, ASI voted to give you so much money for the ministry. So it was a blessing. You know, wasn't from ASI, the National and the Southern Union, this ministry will not be in existence, because a lot of the Adventist members and family members, they haven't went through this time. So they can't relate. I'm not blaming the church, but they just couldn't relate. And by they couldn't relate, and the issues that the men have, because breaking that habit of drug and alcohol, hey, look at here, man. It was Christ. I came out making $5 an hour, $5 an hour 10 years ago. When I was selling drugs with an organization, we were making $70,000 a night. So it had to be Christ that changed my life.
Building up the family of God is what ASI is all about. I'm thankful for ASI members like Shelter from the Storm that are reaching out to people who need the love of God in their lives. For more information about Shelter from the Storm, call 352-339-4732. And to learn more about ASI and how you can become a member, visit www.asiministries.org. I'm Dan Houghton. Thanks for joining me today on ASI Video Magazine. Come back next time for more stories of ASI members sharing Christ in the marketplace. God be with you.